Just last week, community members discovered that another Muslim man is being held at Maplehurst Prison in Milton, Ontario, for immigration-related charges since his arrest under Project Thread. In August 2003, the RCMP claimed it had uncovered an Al-Qaeda sleeper cell during the investigation they had dubbed Project Thread. This week's news brings the body count of Project Thread up to 24 disappeared brothers and fathers. And Amandeep from Project Threadbare joins us on the line to give us an update. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Hi.
Tell us about the detention that you found out about just last week.
A week ago yesterday, actually, we found that there was a 24th Muslim student from Pakistan that was being held at Maplehurst, which is a maximum security prison in Milton, just outside Toronto. And he'd been held there since October 23rd. And we only found out about it last week, as I said. So there was a lot of outrage and frustration at this because over the course of the last few months where we've been working with those that have been detained and working in solidarity, trying to get them released and then stopping deportations and getting due legal process and so on. Throughout this, we've been working with these people and making it out into the media, and yet the government did not come out and say, or nobody has said, that there was more of them. And finding out about the 24th, you know, makes us realize that there may be, you know, 5, 10, 15 more under Project Thread that are still suffering behind bars, and we have no idea.
Well, tell us about how Project Thread came to the community's attention in the first place.
Well, it came through the newspaper articles in August when there was international newspapers all claiming, in the Toronto Star as well, Al-Qaeda sleeper cell uncovered, Pakistani terrorists found in connection with Al-Qaeda, and so on, all these kinds of slogans. And, there was, in the articles, it spoke of van loads of evidence apparently linking these guys to terrorism, and yet within that first week, all of the allegations were dropped because those pieces of evidence that they talked about were quoted as being from RCMP RCMP officials themselves, things like that they had a picture of an airplane on the wall of their apartment, or one of the guys was in flight school. He was the only one out of the 23 that was in flight school, but they said that he was flying every day over the Pickering power plant. Upon further investigation, it's found that everyone that goes to that flight school does that route as a practice route because it's along the shoreline. So just and things like they lived in clusters with very little money and very little furniture. I mean, this is the life of a student, especially an international student, that has to pay the exorbitant fees of being an international student in Canada. So really ridiculous. All of the allegations were dropped, and from that, you know, realizing that the community is realizing, hey, this is another case of racist targeting that's happening since September 11th of Muslims. And that's when people started coming together to raise the awareness of this and demand answers from the government. But as we continued and we went to do visits at the jail, we found that there was a lot more jail support and so on, lawyers and so on, that people needed while they were inside. And then that's when the casework kind of began. And since then, we had thought, as of a few weeks ago, that all of the guys that were inside jail, like all of them, had been either released and are fighting deportation here through filing refugee claims or their PRA and so on, or they've been deported back already. But as we learn now, that's not necessarily the case. There may be more still inside jail.
And what was the general response to this idea that there may be more in jail? You just found out about one more. People are asking how many more. Mm-hmm. Have there been any answers?
There's been no answers, actually. We've heard nothing from... We've written letters to Immigration Canada, to the RCMP, and yet we've found out nothing about this. What we were told is that this 24th guy, they had issued a warrant for his arrest, apparently, at the same time that the other 21 were arrested in August. And there was warrants out for who knows how many more, and this is something that we haven't been told. But apparently there was one for him, and when they didn't find him right away, you know, they didn't search or whatever. I don't know if they knew where he was living or not. But when he went to file a refugee claim on October 23rd, That's where he was apprehended, at the actual immigration office. So we can see that even though Project Thread has been exposed through the media, through, you know, lots of different sources, there's like support letters from the Canadian Council of Refugees and other very large, credible, you know, organizations, Amnesty International and so on, the Human Rights Commission in Pakistan, that has exposed this investigation as being a racist investigation that has been poorly handled from the beginning, that was totally flawed, that though they charged them with terrorism at first and now, like, you know, afterwards they were just saying, oh, it's just immigration violations, that they're still continuing to arrest people on this. That's what is the most ridiculous thing. And we're all finding, like, so blatantly, you know, just in people's face, like they're not able to make a statement yet about that.
And maybe you can talk about the impact of Project Thread in the RCMP investigation on the lives of these students. There's much discussion in Canada about the protecting the security of individuals, but in what ways has the security of these individuals been impacted by these accusations that they were involved in a terror cell and their detention and all the other subsequent events that you mentioned?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really important question to be asking, especially, you're right, when they're talking about security of individuals here, and it always comes down to citizens, but not looking at the rights of all, as, you know, if we're looking at the Universal Declaration or other conventions that the Canadian government signed, it's a complete violation of all of those human rights, because right from the beginning of this case and the way in which these men were apprehended at 4 in the morning on the night of the blackout in Toronto, with their doors broken down and guns to their head, and, you know, being asked questions like, you know, are you Muslim, are you Pakistani, do you know where Osama is, you know, are you related to Al-Qaeda, like all of these questions, and then shuttling them off to a maximum security prison and throwing them in there without any information being given to them. That was right from there, that was terrorism, you know, that is terrorizing them and their lives. And kind of creating, like, if this was, as they said later, just immigration violations, alleged immigration violations that they were holding them under, there would be no need to be using such force and guns and so on. But that's, you know, done to create in the minds of the public who's going to read those newspaper articles the next week an idea that, of course, this is only needed if these men were a danger. So it's right from there, it's creating this image of them as terrorists, putting their names and photographs out into the international media right after those arrests were made and all of these allegations were put out there and their names and pictures were linked to terrorism. And then the allegations were dropped. So they were assumed guilty before anything was actually cleared, any charges were not even laid, but these allegations were so strong and so severe that right from there has tarnished their names and their lives. I mean, many of these men, while they were spending time in jail before any of them were released, some of them that had been engaged, their partners left them because of pressure from their families and so on, not to be linked to anybody that might have this, especially with the international situation and the way that Muslims are being targeted worldwide. Many of them now, because they were deported, they've lost the right to ever come back here. So if they had family or fiancés here in the States, they're not going to be able to live with them there. And so that, you know, that's one thing. And then not being able to find jobs, not have work permits, their studies being interrupted in the middle, and you know, they won't be able to continue their studies here unless, you know, the government does exonerate these men and allow them to be naturalized. And then those that have been deported back to Pakistan, they face a severe danger there. And one of the main concerns right now is that the Canadian government has created refugees of these men that came here as students on valid student visas to study. And many of them got extensions on their student visas through, you know, valid, like, credible Canadian authorities, if you want to call them that. And then because of these allegations, they've been created refugees, because now if they go back to Pakistan, and this has happened to those that have gone back, because of the political climate that we're in right now and the coercion of Bush's government and the U.S. government on all governments, including the Pakistani government, to show their cooperation in this war on terror, the racist war on terror. You know, next time anything happens, a bomb is dropped or, you know, they need to round up somebody and Pakistani government's asked to show their cooperation, these are the men they're going to pick up because their names were never cleared, and have not been yet, and they're continued to be linked, their names and pictures continue to be linked to terrorism. Though they weren't charged with anything, there was no evidence. So they've gone back and they've been getting, several of them have not left their homes since they've gone back, since they've been deported back, because they've been getting death threats from political, like government agencies, as well as religious groups, as well as just, you know, regular people from the Pakistani community that have so much trust in the Canadian government that they believe that they must not have done something wrong. It must have, you know, these guys must have done something. And that's also something to think about in the way that that happens. But so that's happened to them. There's others that are just walking down the street, being recognized from the newspapers and being beaten up and left to bleed on the side of the road. So they do, their lives are in danger there. And they do need to be able to, like the Canadian government needs to give them refuge here after also apologizing and exonerating them, clearing their names.
Amadeep, yeah. We definitely consider this one of our top five news stories for the year, just looking back at all the different news stories that have come out from across Canada over the last year. This the implications of the situation of these students who were here on valid immigration visas being turned into refugees is large, and there's not much in terms of a response coming from the Canadian government. Perhaps you can give the details of your organization's website so people can stay up to date on the activities of Project Threadbare, but also follow up on that question on exactly how many more people are currently being detained by the Canadian government.
Right. You're definitely right. It is one of the issues that I think, you know, throughout all of the stuff that's been happening in the media currently around the racist targeting of Muslims with Maharar's case and Khadr's case as well, they are making it into the media and people are speaking up about it, and the government has issued statements on those cases, but that's it seems that they still have not made a single statement about Project Thread. And that's something that we're continuing to demand answers for, and I think it's really important that they do something, because this case is very different from the other two in that it shows complete Canadian complicity in this, and it was the Canadian government that initiated it, and they've followed through all the way. It's not like, you know, with the other cases where you can blame the U.S. or let's blame Syria and pretend like Canada had nothing to do with it. And that's another reason why we really have to bring light to this, because it will hopefully, if this is exposed, then it will stop this from continuing to happen to others. And the website is www.threadbare.tyo.ca. That's threadbare, B-A-R-E. .tyo.ca, and on there you'll get every day there's updates on press releases and information that we're finding, as well as information about writing to your MPs and MPPs and, you know, the immigration minister, in, you know, even writing to the Quebec immigration minister is going to be helpful, but there's a new Canadian immigration minister as well, and it's really important that into the new year we continue to put pressure on them to make statements about this. And so that we can, you know, demand accountability from our government on these cases. Now, some good news from yesterday is that this 24th man, because of a press conference that was held by Threadbare on Wednesday and some press that it did receive, the 24th was released in court yesterday. I'm not sure if he's actually been physically released yet. As of this morning, he hadn't been. But as of how many more are inside, we still don't know, but we will be updating on the website for that.
Amadeep, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Yes, thanks, Gretchen. Thank you.
I'm always the optimist. If we have the patience and the inspiration to look back on our history and realize that when a day is bad, and we are saddled with people who are exploiting us and have plans to exploit the people further, that's not the last day. There will be future times.